Morning again. It is good to see all of you here this morning on this bright and cool morning outside, right?
Yeah.
1,000% humidity already, it felt like this morning. We had hail at the house yesterday. I pulled up the radar and it was just one red circle right over the area, nothing else. But it was raining pretty good. We'll be in Ruth chapter 3 this morning as we continue through this book together. Ruth chapter 3. We're going to look at this scene on the threshing floor. How's our obedience in here? That's not a word we even like to hear, is it? Obedient, obeying. That's not something we like to hear. We follow all the rules in our life? We follow all the laws? No. We do what others ask of us without question. That's a tough one. How's our patience in here? Got a lot of it? Maybe very little of it? Maybe you do things yourself because you know it'll go faster and it'll be better. Check on the food in the oven, though you know it has 30 more minutes. You still got to take a peek, though, right? Wait for water to start boiling by staring at it. You don't do that. Check the delivery on a package today, though you know it says it's delivering tomorrow. We probably don't do that either. Check Amazon. We know obedience and we know patience, don't we? We may not be very good at them from time to time. We're going to see these concepts in our text today as we continue looking at this relationship growing between Boaz and Ruth. Obedience and faith and patience will all be in our text, and we're going to apply them to our lives in three parts this morning. Go to the threshing floor. Remain by my side. Wait for your redemption. Ruth chapter 3. Let's stand together. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with you, whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone on after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but arose before one could recognize her. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And she told her all the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning together again. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and we thank you for your holy word. Be with us now, right in our minds and our hearts. Help us dive in together and apply your words to our lives as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This week we find ourselves in the climax of this story. So far we've seen the widespread suffering in this region and in this family. We've also seen God's sovereignty over this situation. We've seen Ruth's strength and faith and her dealings with Naomi and in this move and in her work in the fields. We have said her gleaning was important for her family, and it was how she met Boaz. We also said that gleaning from one another in our lives is also important, and every believer in Jesus has been gleaned by God, plucked from the world and restored back to Him. This week we dive into the threshing floor and Ruth's continued actions for her family. This scene is climactic and it is controversial, and we will look at it together through a series of commands toward Ruth. The first is go. Go to the threshing floor. We were left last week with kind of this hanging after this image we had of Ruth being accepted and cared for by Boaz. It was this first date-like scene. And then our last verse last week said, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This was telling us that nothing had changed. Their situation remained the same. They were still at the mercy of this gleaning and of people's help around them. Naomi opens our text this week with a plan. What's the plan? We know where Boaz is, so go to him. What is Naomi expecting? Redemption. Is he not our relative? This is what she says, and what it meant was it was time to move forward. How did they move forward? First, it was with anointing. What do we think when we hear wash up and change your clothes before you go out? Getting ready for a date, right? Some event, going out to eat, going out on the town, whatever it is, it's important enough for you to clean up for, to look nice for. This is what is going on here, but it's also much deeper. This cloak would have been a nice touch, but to wash up and anoint is what stands out to us. Why this phrase? These are the steps taken after someone moves from mourning to getting on with their life. David did this. His child that he had out of wedlock with Bathsheba had fallen ill, and for 7 days he did not eat, and he did not get up from the floor. Fasting and prayer for this child's life. Then he finds out that the child has passed away after this week of prayer and fasting. 2 Samuel 12. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He then went down to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. What changed? His time of mourning was over. His time of prayer and fasting for the life of the child was over. He knew what was done was done. He wanted to change the result, but it was time to move on. This is what is happening here in our story with Ruth. Naomi tells her it is time. You spent your time in mourning for our losses, and it has come and gone. Wash and anoint and move on with your life. Next we see Ruth is told to go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known until the right time. I'm a visual person. I imagine her hiding behind some pile of wheat. I mean, what does this scene look like? Don't make yourself known until the right time. It also tells her to make sure you know where this person is laying down. So there's other people there. There's a chance she uncovers the wrong person's feet. This image is surprising. The threshing floor is where the outside chaff is separated from the wheat. The process is called winnowing in our text, and the location is the threshing floor. It would have been out in the fields in a place that was packed down and flat. It would have been east of the city and carried out at sunset or after. East and at sunset was so the breeze would help separate the chaff from the wheat and blow it away from the city. What does this look like? Well, at harvest time around here, when they're picking the beans, you can look out your window and see the cloud, right? All the stuff that you don't want to breathe. The beans are everywhere. This is why it's at night and away from the city. They're separating the stuff, and it's blowing away from where people live. Let us remember that it's already some danger involved in this area just being out in the fields during daytime. This is why Boaz says, "Stay here with my people." This is why Naomi was pleased to find out that she had found a field she could trust. Now Naomi tells Ruth to get cleaned up and get dressed up because she was going to the field at night and alone. We live in an area out here surrounded by woods and fields. Would you feel safe walking around, say, these gravel roads headed down to the bottoms by yourself during the daytime? Probably. How about at night? You want to wander around here or anywhere by yourself at night in the middle of nowhere? Maybe some of us do, but probably not. Now add in the fact that this is the time of judges in which there was no king and everyone does right in their own eyes. That's what Judges tells us. First, it kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? We see in our Bible that after King David and King Solomon, this turning from God becomes normal again. Nothing too worldly and nothing too sinful. Now add the fact that Ruth is a foreigner. This is not her land. This is not her people. It's starting to feel like not good motherly advice from Naomi, right? This reveals to us the trust these women have in each other and the trust they have in their God and in their relative, Boaz. Next, we have this phrase, uncover his feet and lie down. A foreign widow dressed up and sent out as nighttime settles upon them to go to a place where normally women did not go and to uncover a man's feet and to lie down next to him. It is okay if your mind is wandering a bit here, because these words are meant to make you wonder. These phrases are intimate in nature in the Hebrew. I said women normally do not go to the threshing floor because a type of woman did go to the threshing floor. There was a type of woman who did walk the town at night, the prostitute. Wait until he lies down and then uncover him and lie down next to him. It sounds sketchy, but it is not. We've seen sketchy in Israel's past, but nothing sketchy is happening here. We know this because nothing in our story up to this point points toward Boaz and Ruth being anything other than worthy. This worthiness ascribed to them both in this story is for separate reasons, but points to an absolute honorable encounter here. These words give us an idea of the closeness of this scene, and it gives us the possible reason for his awakening. He has worked all day and into the night and has filled his stomach with food and drink, so there's little reason for him to wake up. Little reason except for his uncovered feet in the night air and a woman resting beside him. The text says, startled at midnight, but the word used here means to shiver. So shivering with surprise or cold is what has removed him from his sleep. What are we seeing here so far? A scene is unfolded that involves timing and intent. It involves secrecy and intimacy. What else? Obedience. Ruth has done everything Naomi has asked of her. Now, there may be some custom that we are not aware of from 3,000 2,000 years later, but it seems to me that some of this request is not an immediate yes. Are all these things an immediate yes to you? It is not a no questions asked kind of moment. It was to Ruth. It has always been to Ruth. Where you go, I go. Your God shall be my God. Ruth has always been all in. Even when Naomi was not, Ruth was. Are we? Do our lives reveal that we are all in for God? No questions asked. Your word I will obey. Your call on my life I will answer. Is this how we live? Is this how the gospel drives us? Jesus revealed this obedience to his Father. Remember back to the garden? We studied the garden. Let this cup pass from me if it can. He could see what was coming. But your will be done no matter what. The cross was God's will. Our sins upon the Son was God's will. Excruciating death was God's will. These things were not for Jesus. His obedience was not for his own benefit, but for ours. Romans 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hear that. God died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Naomi could do nothing to better her own situation, but Ruth could. We could do nothing to better ourselves, to save ourselves. No one can do this. Jesus did. Ruth obedient all the way to the threshing floor. And it leads to the birth of Jesus and his obedience all the way to the cross for everyone who believes. Is this you? Naomi spoke and Ruth went, and next we will see her remain by my side. So far, Ruth has done everything asked of her by Naomi. And it's brought us to our moment in our text. There is no going back now. Boaz is away. What would your reaction be? Awakened to find yourself uncovered and a stranger at your feet. A stranger sharing your bed-shaped pile of wheat. What is your reaction? This is why we have guns in our house, right? This is why we take self-defense classes. This is why we lock our doors and we get guard dogs. We have great guard dogs, don't we? Yeah. These moments are what we were preparing for, a stranger in our midst. We know what our reaction would be. What was his reaction? First, it was one of startlement. It seems appropriate. Startled is okay in this situation. Then he asks, who are you? This is probably because it's dark and she's cloaked and he is still half asleep. He cannot tell who she is, and it does seem appropriate to want to know who you just woke up next to. Ruth then wastes no time. I am your servant, Ruth. Spread your wings over me and be my redeemer. Two things here to point out. First, this is the same language used in chapter 2 when Boaz prays that the Lord blesses Ruth, that the Lord repays her for her kindness. The Lord spreads his wings over her. Now, Ruth asked Boaz to be his own answered prayer. Do we see that? Boaz says, God, spread your wings over her. Ruth says, you be the one sent by God. This leads us to the second thing to see, which is her actual question. Hidden under this language, we're seeing from 3,000 years ago, lies a marriage proposal. She just asked Boaz to marry her. This is how redemption occurs. Marry the closest relative in the family that would take you in. So let's recap. A foreigner just cleaned herself up and dressed herself up and walked down to the threshing floor at night. In a place that safety in daytime is iffy, she then uncovers Boaz, lays down beside him, and when he awakes to see her, and to question her. Her response is to propose. Is this how your engagements went? No, none of them? I hope not. What was his response? May the Lord bless you. You have shown great kindness. I will do this for you as you are a worthy woman. Remain here. Sounds like a yes to me. What just happened? Well, the blessing and kindness is a response to her for not searching for the most eligible bachelor. She's not merely looking to start her life over. She's not looking for the best option for her. She's also looking for Naomi. She's preserving the honor of Naomi. This can only be done through Naomi's customs and through Naomi's relatives. This also speaks to the fact that Boaz is not a young man. We're not told the ages here. Some ancient writings on this book place Ruth around 40 and Boaz around 80. Whether accurate or not, we can see that she has based this decision not on her own desires, but on what is right by God and by Naomi. We can only pray and hope that half of our decisions are based on this kind of dedication to God, to God's people. Oh, what a world we would live in if this was the case. How about this worthy woman comment? Have we heard this anywhere before? We've heard it in this study. She's called a worthy woman. It does not stand out in English, but this same Hebrew phrase is used in Proverbs 31. The passage on the ideal woman, the passage on the godly woman leads her life, starts with this verse, Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. This is the exact same Hebrew phrase used in our passage today. Excellent wife, worthy woman. Same phrase. There are some scholars that say the original Hebrew Bible had Proverbs and then Ruth following it. So when they read the attributes of an excellent wife at the end of Proverbs, they then turned the page to read about Ruth. This is the link that Boaz is making here. You are kind and worthy, and there's no better woman for me than you. May the Lord bless you. Then he says, remain here. If you could not tell that his answer was yes, I will redeem you, then remain here seals the deal. I am a redeemer, and you are worthy. Do not leave my side. This is where I point the story to our lives. We have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. Our Redeemer did not find us to be worthy, but made us worthy by His blood, by His suffering. Sinners made worthy by the sacrifice of the sinless Son of God. Amen. Belief in this man and in his actions for you deems you a worthy member of the family of God. This faith also brings with it a plea to your life. The world around us will try to pull us in. A culture built on the premise that everyone is right. Everyone can go their own way. Everyone can seek their own truth. This is the very culture in which Ruth and Boaz were living in as well. This is why they needed judges. This is why they needed judgment from God. This is why God's people were almost wiped out. Everyone following their own truth and their own way. All the while, God is pleading, remain with me. Stay with me. Do not wander. Do not go your own way. There is one truth, and it is found in God. It is found in His holy word, in His only Son. It is found with Him and nowhere else. The world offers pleasures that can lead only to pain, to suffering, to loss, to eternal punishment. God pleads with every one of us. Remain. Stay steadfast. Cling to your faith. The Bible says, in the end, it is weed or weeds. It is believer or unbeliever. It is those who remain and those who fall away. Who are we? Who are you? Ruth had faith and hope and obedience, and It is leading to her redemption. How about us? She has gone and she has remained, and now we will see her wait. Wait for your redemption. Anyone in here struggle with waiting? Probably a few of us. I used to think I had quite the patience level. I'm a very patient person. I also now have 3 daughters. So patience is tested more regularly. That patience doesn't quite look quite as large as it once did. We're all like this. Roll through stop signs, speed up through yellow lights, drive 60 instead of 55, stream our TV so we can skip commercials. You get the picture. Now, apply this to our wait statement in our text. Ruth returns home the next morning to a question from Naomi. How did you fare? This is how we translate it, but it actually says, who are you? Naomi wants to know if she is still her gleaning daughter-in-law, or if a marriage and a redemption is on the horizon. Are you the wife of Boaz, is how this should read to us. Ruth arrives with a story to tell and a gift to give her. This gift is as important as the story. Remember, Naomi left full and returned empty. The Lord had emptied her. Ruth says here, this is from Boaz. No matter what size the 6 measures were, they symbolize Boaz's intentions that Naomi would no longer be empty, but rather would be restored. Naomi then responds by telling her to wait. Telling her that this day would not end before they knew their fate. Think about that wait. Think about Naomi and all she has lost and what this wait means for her. Think about Ruth and all the faith she has shown and what this wait means for her. This matter will be settled today. Just wait. What are we waiting for in our story here? The Redeemer. Boaz is willing, but our text says there is another. It is the other's right to redeem. This wait is to see who steps up. If you think about it, Ruth just proposed to Boaz, but her husband, by the end of the day, could be someone else she has never met. Talk about a wait. Something tells me that Ruth's time waiting goes much smoother than ours would. What do we wait for? In our individual lives, there's a number of things on this list. It is an immense list, right? We all have things on our list. We wait for health and appointments. We wait on better careers and futures. We wait for marriages and children. We wait on answers to questions asked and results of decisions made. Waiting is our life. Do we do it well? I imagine Ruth is waiting well here. I imagine her faith is in focus here. How about ours? Has the pressure of waiting to see buckled the faith we have? Likely the answer is yes. We've all been buckled under the weight of waiting at some point in our lives. One of the times I was in Africa, a scripture set upon me, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. This is sometimes easy to do when in Africa. Every landscape and every sunset brings this sense of God. Every animal and every time you worship with people who pour out their very souls for God in this place. Being still and seeing God was sometimes easy. It was also sometimes hard. The schedules changed every morning. The places you were going were changing. The people you were meeting were changing. Whole days hung in the balance every morning. If you were a punctual person, Africa would test you. If you were a planner, Africa would push you. I have an example of not being still when you should. Not waiting well. We're coming back home from this place. We're leaving Africa. We're at the airport, and we're going on a 4-hour delay. Our flight flight left around. It's supposed to leave around 9-something. It was upwards of 1 to 1:30 in the morning. There was no air conditioning in the airport. There was no place to go. You're stuck in this one room together. We're just there waiting. You think our patience level was high after 20 days gone and a flight delayed, and we could have been well on our way by now. They finally come to us and tell us that our flight had been canceled. So 4.5 hours in, and they tell us the reason why. There was only one plane in and out of this place to our next stop, and this one plane on the way in was struck by lightning. This piqued our ears, but this is pretty common. Planes get struck by lightning. What is not common is that this place could not check the plane to see if it was fully functional. They did not have the equipment. The wait was for another plane to fly in from London. We were distraught about our wait until we found out the wait was for our good. Fly on an untested plane or wait for another one. The decision was easy. I tell you this story to say this. We wait for many things in our life, and we have no idea why or for how long. What Scripture says is that we know very little and God knows all. Our wait was keeping us from our families and our minds, but the wait was actually making sure we returned to our families. Every single moment in your life is like this. We do not know the outcome of the waiting, but God does. Sometimes we will not see the good after the wait is over, but God does. He knows all and works in all and uses all, though we cannot see it in the moment. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that you are His. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be forsaken. They will not be left alone. They will not be discarded by God. Whatever you wait on, know that although excruciating, the wait has an end. And God is in it. Trust in Him. Lean into Him. Know that He is God and you are His. Next week we will see what happens in this story. And how their wait ends. For now, know that today we looked at Ruth going and remaining and waiting. Ruth's obedience, both to her God and her family, was unmatched. Her courage was unmatched. What should we ask ourselves in our final moments together this morning is if we can say the same. How is our courage for the gospel? How is our obedience? How is our faith in the times of waiting? One more thing, this wait is also not a pause in your life. You do not shut everything down. Naomi and Ruth have needed a redeemer for some time now. This was their desire and their prayer, but it did not stop their actions. Actually, their actions in their time of waiting led to their waiting to be over. Stay in Moab and miss the harvest. Stay at home and miss the gleaning, miss meeting Boaz. Waiting did not mean no action. It meant action while expecting an answer. Is this how we wait? Maybe in whatever season of life you are in, you've now realized that waiting is not what is eating away at you, but rather your inaction, your lack of prayer, your lack of study, your lack of fellowship. We all have these moments, and this past year served to add to these moments. What do we need to do differently to break out of what holds us down? If you're online, and it's been over a year since you've been here, then maybe your question is, why? Is it still the pandemic, or is it convenient? Is it for health or is it your new normal? Isolation is the enemy of the Christian. Amen. I repeat that. Isolation is the enemy of a Christian. Why? Because you're never truly isolated. You're not in the day we live in. You're merely isolated from your faith. Everything else gets in. The world around you is always there. It will get in, and it already has. The world will take you over. Being still and knowing God still requires your action. It still requires your presence. Your faith requires fellowship. Your church body requires you. Amen. Whatever the unanswered questions are in your life, whatever the current weight is for you, bring it to your Father as we pray this morning. Bring it to Him as we sing. Bring it to someone in this room. If it is faith that you are seeking, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will have faith. You may still wait for things in your life in this world, but you'll know where you're heading in the world to come. No matter where you are in life, God knows and He is with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this morning again. Thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for the story of Ruth. So many things that we can apply to our lives. Father, we just ask that You ingrain in us the lessons You have for us in Your scripture. Help us leave this place changed, willing to reach out with the gospel, willing to have the courage to step up, willing and desiring to be closer to You and Your family. This church is our family, given to us by You. Help us to see that and rally around one another. Help us to leave this place to share the gospel with everyone. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Who is in our life that needs Him from us? In Jesus' name.